I'm going to skip the opening, the formalities there that you put out. Dennis, I appreciate you putting that out, though. I have a Burns, Oregon call number calling me, guys. So give me one sec.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it's November 19th at, 8:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So at least we have that on the beginning of the tape.
Okay.
We'll see if we get anything else, but we got that.
Yeah, skip all the formalities. Don't even index it. Well, Ryan and I spent about a week together and had some interesting conversations.
Is he going to be heading back your way, or is he heading back to his house now?
I think he's going back to his house now, and then he's going to come down this way after Turkey Day.
Okay.
On the way to Mexico, or Arizona.
Almost the same thing right now.
All right. That was the, excuse me, that was one of the Harney County commissioners getting back to me, so I'll be calling him back here when I get back into service after our discussion.
So that you have this in your mind, the court calls for the grand jury, and I imagine the commission could ask the court to call for the grand jury. It doesn't say that the sheriff can, but they've got the county attorney involved all the way through.
Ah, of course. Okay, so I'll start at the beginning with the with the meeting prior to the Hammonds meeting, which was with Ammon Bundy, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people from the Pacific Patriots Network, which is the organization that has come together with Oath Keepers leadership. And then there was a couple of gentlemen that were there that are involved, have been involved with some organizations that try to make people aware of government overreach, specifically regarding land use issues. And then another gentleman who's an author and historian was there documenting everything that was going on. That's all of who was in attendance at that initial meeting, and that meeting was basically with the goal of having a unified message to present to the Hammonds. And it was agreed at that meeting that basically the idea would be to present them with a level of protection, a unified agreement on protecting them in the event that they decided to not turn themselves in for their sentence. Now, it's very obvious at this point, and my apologies to you gentlemen that I bring this heat or whatever it is, this perception that's in people's minds, but their intelligence officer was there for the Pacific Patriots Network, and she made some very direct comments as to alluding. But what she said was, she was trying. They were very much interested in pitching themselves. It was obvious that, and quite honestly, there was a lot more effort in pitching themselves than there was to take a common stand. And her direct comments were, "We vet everybody. We vet everybody. You started pointing around the table," and she pointed at me and she said, "And we know exactly who you are." So, her name is Brooke. I believe it's Agrosta.
Okay.
And she's Brandon Curtis's wife. Brandon Curtis is the president of Idaho, 3%, and he's one of the five founders of the Pacific Patriots Network. And anyway, his wife is the intelligence officer for the Pacific Patriots Network and 3% there. She's really the only one who made those direct remarks. But I'll get to the sheriff's meeting where there was definitely a concerted effort to try and keep us out. That meeting went pretty well. It was pretty short. I didn't say really anything. I just sat there pretty quietly and let them go. They did make some remarks, for instance, about organizations that are questionable and things like that. So it was very obvious they were alluding to who they were alluding to. So I'll just
bookkeepers under that comment.
What's that?
I would have thought of oath keepers under that category, questionable organizations.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I'll get to the Hammonds meeting, and I guess I want to go into the meat of the meeting, and then I'll go into the meat of the sheriff's meeting, and then I'll go back on some of the the other issues. The meeting with the Hammonds went fantastic. We sat around a round table and discussed with them basically what it was that was being offered. The Hammonds, Susie and Dwight were the Hammonds there. Stephen was not there, so the son. And he specifically said he would not be attending because his fear, and Dwight expanded on this. His fear, he's basically come to peace with that. He's going to go to prison, then he's going to get out, and he's going to continue on with his life. And I think he has this impression that he's going to continue on with his life unabated. And his father and his mother are trying to get it through his head that this is not going to stop until off the land. But he is basically taking the position at this point that he just wants to get on with his life. And he's worried that any stand that they make is going to impact the community, and it's going to have adverse effects all the way across the board. Dwight was very, he made that point very solid that's his stance. Now Dwight and Susie are very much on the opposite of that, and that shows that there is a dissension within their own family about how to pursue this. Dwight and Susie, their line is basically that that they would absolutely be on board with everything that's being discussed, but they don't want to make that decision until they have a good discussion with Stephen. So they haven't necessarily turned down the offer of direct protection, but they're not willing to make a stand at this point. Now, I asked them directly, something of our concern, which will basically show that door three is not isn't where we're at this point. I asked him if because Dwight was talking about being concerned with the same thing that Stephen is, and that he feels he's having a very hard time accepting that a very difficult situation and a very tense situation may arise out of a decision he makes. And so I made it very clear to him, and this was really the only point of dissension amongst everybody that was there, that he could feel that weight was lifted off of his shoulders because the American people are now becoming aware of his situation, of their family's situation, and that the American people have already expressed their sentiment that they're going to see to it that the Hammonds are not oppressed further and that quite honestly, that decision doesn't rest with them anymore. That decision's already been made. And that the decision that essentially they had to come to was whether they felt they needed direct protection if they chose to not turn themselves in. And so they agreed with that, and here's where we get to the point of dissension. Brooke was the one who voiced it, and she said, I disagree with that. I feel like if the Hammonds do not make a stand, that basically we can't be involved whatsoever. And she went on pretty lengthy with that, and then somebody from within their own organization stopped her and said and basically agreed with me. He said that at this point we have to say that the tyranny exists and we have to stop it, and it really doesn't, we can't even put that weight on the Hammond shoulders to make that decision. The tyranny has to be stopped, and we have to do whatever it takes to make that happen. So it was the only point of what appeared to be disunity in the whole entire conversation, and good that someone within their own organization cut it off and said, no, that's not the way it is. Now, I'll get to how the things are continuing on that line here in a bit, and they are. But anyway, the meeting with the Hammonds went very well, and they got the point. They did. Dwight, on that point that I was making before, Dwight said that he was sure that no matter what type of action was taken, that they would definitely not come out against it and would most likely support it. And they were also sure that Stephen would not come. He may against it. He may not come out in support of it, but they were certain that he wouldn't come out against it. So that meeting went very well. I hung back a little bit after everybody left, just developed the relationship a little better. So there's a level of trust there, and I feel pretty comfortable in saying that we can probably look at some different courses of action in pursuance of the whole thing. The now we get to the after that meeting, there was a conference call with some people from the Tea Party Patriots and a couple different activist organizations, and then some people from the Pacific Patriots Network were on it, myself and Ammon. And the Tea Party Patriots were very interested in after it was said. Now the Oath Keeper side, the Pacific Patriots Network guys, they immediately wanted to talk about filing appeals with the Supreme Court and pursuing the legal avenue. And so I kind of interrupted them and said, you know, that stuff, myself and Damon both brought it to bear that pursuing things in the Supreme Court is going to produce nothing. And it acknowledges a stance which we believe doesn't exist, and so it's not a method that should even be considered, and honestly, and they didn't like that. They said, and they also displayed that, well, if we don't get an appeal going and to keep them out of jail, then we have to accept that it is imminent that the Hammonds will be arrested. And this is where I stepped in once again and said, if we're accepting that the Hammonds are going to be arrested imminently, then what are we doing here? What is it exactly that we're trying to do? And so what they did was they started offering up some things that would be pursued. Well, if the Hammonds don't go through the appeal process and they say that they're not going to go to prison, then there's going to be a squad of U.S. Marshals that's going to come in and arrest them, to which I obviously said, and we're going to stop them from arresting them. And then they said, well, if they know that there's going to be a bunch of people, then there's no way that we can control that. We're not going to know that they're going to do it. We don't know what agencies, blah blah blah. They said we will know. We'll ensure that we have the proper assets and so that we do know and we are able to intercept any efforts to arrest them. To which they said, any efforts like that are going to can only result in aggression on the other side, which is going to end up in violence and end up poorly. And Ammon at this point started inserting his own opinion that about the Bundy situation, to which some of the people on the call were at the Bundy Ranch, and those very people who were at the Bundy Ranch started talking about, well, the Bundys, they didn't have this, and the Hammond, they were trying to downplay the Bundy situation in comparison to the Hammonds, and so that the Bundys didn't have to worry about some of the things that the Hammonds do because it wasn't as severe of an issue, to which Ammon displayed a massive amount of patience in retorting because that notion is entirely ridiculous. And they had 200 armed federal agents that were bearing down on them with snipers on the hilltops and everything else. And to even present that point of I think demonstrated their lack of testicular fortitude. Not to mention that some of those very people were there on the ground, a part of the militia effort to protect the Bundys and all the protesters. And what they were basically saying is that if they had known the full picture of what they were bringing, saying that the Bundy situation was not quite the same, that means if they had known the full picture, they were saying they wouldn't have participated. So basically what we illuminated how nutless their part of the conversation was. And it was said that it doesn't quite honestly matter what your guys' position is. The people are going to decide, and some of us have already decided that they're not going to jail. Now, so that's how that conversation went. The Tea Party Patriots, they want me to participate in their telephone. They have a conference call going on. I was going to get on it right here after I get off of this. They wanted me to participate so that we could talk about what it is that we want to accomplish and some methods for going about it, which I don't necessarily have a whole lot of that. All I can do is be theoretical and talk about what we could do. So now we get to the meeting with the sheriff today. And all of the same people were in attendance, with the addition of Joseph Rice, who's the guy that headed up the Sugar Pine Mine operation. And he's very well spoken. He's pretty knowledgeable on everything, but definitely has a targeted approach. And that approach is that we're going to try to work within the system, to which, Ammon, obviously voiced opposition and I did as well, but the sheriff was presented with all of our goals and intents and a petition to him to make the right decision and basically has said that he's still reviewing everything and he's starting to feel the heat. I mean, he said that he got over 1,000 emails yesterday alone, mostly on this, and that his phone is blowing up and he's definitely feeling the pressure now. He also said that the feds have been coming and talking with him pretty heavily about who was becoming involved. And of course, they've been presenting him with their side of the issue. One thing that Ammon said that was very, very well spoken was that the sheriff has been basically taking information in from a bunch of different avenues, but he hasn't really done much investigative work himself. He needs to get out there. He has met with the Hammonds briefly since Ammon and I went there, and he said that he agrees they're surely not terrorists and they're They're salt of the earth people. They're very nice people. You can't imagine that this is happening to them. But Hammond said you need to get out there and meet the Hammonds. You need to go out to the ranch and look at the actual situation on the ground, see where the burns happened, and you need to get out there and do this work. And he agreed that he does need to do that. And so I think that he's going to. Basically, that's how the meeting went. And he, at the end of it, he made his position at this point known, that he is reviewing everything and he's trying to make, you know, he understands that he has the decision to make, which is whether he's going to defend the Hammonds or not. And we made that point very clear to him that there is no gray area. To not make a decision or to take a position of neutrality is to condemn the Hammonds, and thus he will be taking the side of the government at that point. So Hammond furthered a conversation that him and I had, and he told the sheriff that he has till shortly after Thanksgiving to make his decision before some sort of movement is going to be initiated on the whole thing. And it was made clear to the sheriff that if he decides that he is not going to stand with the Hammonds, that the people have decided that they are going to stand with the Hammonds, and we will do his job for him. His The other point that he wanted to make was that he has told the feds, everyone he's met with, and the state prosecutor, the district attorney and the state attorney general that he will not be having any federal force in his county to come kick doors in or anything that he specifically said. We're not going to have the feds coming in here doing what they did at the Bundy Ranch. So I made sure that he understood that that's not necessarily enough, that that protection needs to extend to the Hammonds specifically, because if he does not step in, then the Hammonds are going to feel like that the federal government is infringing on his territory, his jurisdiction. And he agreed with that. He said, from everything I've seen so far, I agree with that position, and so that's why he wants to review everything. Basically, and he was very heartfelt in what he was saying. He said, I understand where I'm at. He said that he feels a very large weight on his shoulders right now with the decision that he has to make, and he's considering the ramifications of either way, and he said he's not sleeping a whole lot right now. And I told him, you know, that when he makes the right decision and he decides to stand with the Hammonds, that I'm confident that that'll be the best night of sleep that he's gotten since he became sheriff. Just to try to take a little bit of the weight on his shoulders, but definitely the goal there was to put the weight on him. At this point, he can make a stand that will be recognized and will set a precedent across the country, and it'll empower other sheriffs to make that stand as well and do their proper role as the protector of the people within their county. After that, I had a private meeting with the sheriff myself, and I talked to Hammond about a couple things. So I want to go back on what happened in the meeting with the Hammonds and what happened in the meeting with the sheriff with the Pacific Patriots Network, because I believe it is an item of concern. During the meeting with the Hammonds, as I said before, it was very much about pitching themselves and their organization. And what they were they definitely made a point of mentioning that basically that if things were going to be pursued, then they would be the ones that were at the head of that table, that everybody else would be falling under them. They would be vetting everybody. They would be making sure that it was all the right people that were involved and keep all the crazies out. And what I mean by that is they expanded very well on saying they didn't point the finger directly at me, but it was very much obvious that every time they were talking about, and they did look at me when they were saying those things. So anybody that was there would have realized that who they were talking about, that they would be running the operation very tightly and basically, and Ammon agreed that it sounded like authoritarian state, that their intention when they go into something is to have complete control, and that every action will go through them, and anybody involved is going to have to answer to them. In the sheriff's meeting, they did the same thing, and they also expanded on it with him, that that they have been looking into other organizations and other individuals, and that one of the things that they are very careful about is keeping people out that want to pursue violence and want to start a war, and that all they want to see is a violent revolution get kicked off, and they definitely made a point over and over again of offering their services directly to the sheriff. Tell us what you need. We'll lend our intelligence resources and every other resource that we can. Very pompously, they mentioned a few times to the sheriff that we have information gathering resources. We know things that you can't even get. So that, as I said, it was very much a pitch of themselves, where, you know, they were trying to sell them on what they were and that they would have complete control. Now,
it was door five, doesn't it?
There were some other other offhanded comments that were, you know, Ammon recognized it, I recognized it, that were specifically directed at us. And part of, you know, those comments were as well. So after the meeting, I told the sheriff I wanted to speak with him privately. And I also told Ammon, because the Pacific Patriots guys, all of those, Ammon and I walked out, and the other people who were the historian and who weren't involved with the PPN, we walked out and we were talking outside. And all of the PPN people, they stayed in and were talking to the sheriff for another half hour or so. I told Ammon at that time that I guarantee you right now, because Ammon's been very, very worried about division amongst the people who are going to lend support, and I promised him that I would make sure that none of that was apparent in our meetings with these people, but that that there is concern. There's concern in their camp, and there's concern in our camp about what their intentions are and the actions that they pursue, and also the manner in which they pursue them. I told them, and I guarantee you right now, that they're sitting in there telling that sheriff about OMD and about myself, and telling him that he needs to stay away from us. And when I went into the meeting, my private meeting with the sheriff, he confirmed that. He not only confirmed that, he said that it's also coming from the government. So the government has been telling him that we want a violent revolution and that we want to start a fight with the federal government, that we are looking for a war. So that was also, that's the line, and he didn't say it directly, but there was plenty enough of what he alluded to that is also what he had been told by them, by the Pacific Patriots Network people. So I thought that was an interesting connection to make, that the federal government's line and the Oath Keepers Pacific Patriots Network line is exactly the same. And that they're trying to insert themselves as in a total control manner to keep everybody out. And it's very much obvious that they want to control the narrative. They said we have media resources that nobody else has. We have information gathering resources that nobody else has, and we will control the narrative with the media. They wanted to assert over and over again that that they would control the narrative with the media and that the media would have to put out the right things because we're going to give them the information to put out and they won't be allowed to put out anything but the correct information. So there was a ridiculous statement on its face. But you can see very much that, that their intent is to control everything. So my private meeting with the sheriff went well. He did tell me that he basically of everyone sitting at that table, that through our conversations that he probably agrees with me more than anybody else. So that's good. And he doesn't believe that we want a violent revolution. He says I don't see any indicators of that. He has gone back and watched a bunch of videos and he's done his research on myself and on the organization. So, you know, I feel a comfort level with him. I also feel a comfort level with the Hammonds that they don't buy into that crap either. So I think that part of, you know, that's a totally separate conversation as far as the whole issue is concerned, but it's definitely integral into it on how they're positioning themselves. There definitely wasn't any mention whatsoever, except from me, on working together. They never once went into that conversation. I offered it up. You know, there has to be unity. We need to work together on these things. They don't want to work together. So that's basically where it's all at. The Hammonds, they said that they haven't decided whether he hasn't decided whether he's going to turn himself in or not. And so that the decision on whether to provide personal protection for them is still up in the air. But I feel pretty confident that that we could start looking at courses of action on how to affect their defense, you know, indirectly. And that they're not going to speak out against it and most likely will come out in support of it. The sheriff is the other issue. We're basically waiting on his decision. If the sheriff, there again, if he decides that he's not going to stand for the Hammonds, then that is going to be the point where serious course of action discussions on what we actually want to do can start taking place.
So we should know everybody's decision by the phone call on Sunday after Thanksgiving.
We told the sheriff the week after Thanksgiving, so there's going to be a specific time where we call him and say, where are you at? So I would say that we'll probably have to have a special meeting after that as well.
Because that the longer he waits, the shorter the time frame is to put anything together.
Yeah, that was specifically told to him, and that's why, you know, Ammon and I had talked about setting a time frame to give him the ability to make that decision, but that it had to be a specific point, that after he had until this time to make that decision, and after that, things were going to start being pursued. And so he's very aware of the time crunch. He agrees with it, and he agrees that that's a good point that we're making in that, is that there should be, he should have to make the decision, and that we should be allowed time to do things that we feel we need to do. So,
well, you know, our decision isn't predicated on which side the sheriff takes, is it? He's not going to do the grand jury, so unless the commissioner is willing to, what does it matter? He said he doesn't want problems in his county, so he's going to be looking at whoever shoots first, if somebody shoots.
What he did say, you know, the key is if the sheriff is going to defend the Hammonds and say, I'm not going to allow them to be arrested, then the proper authority has done that. And basically what we're looking at is if the proper authority fails, then the people have to make to make the proper authority.
If he takes that position, we're going to back him up. If he doesn't take that position, we're going to back the Hammonds up, correct?
Exactly, yeah. And really nobody else at the table was willing to say that, and he directly pointed at me, and he said, you know, Ryan, through our conversations, really I am aware of the lack of a gray area. He said, you have definitely taken the hard line, and I'm very aware that because who was it? It was Brooke again who told the sheriff, we want to stand behind you and we want to support you. And, you know, no matter what decision you make, whether it's this way or that, we're going to support you in that decision. And so I cut her off and said, you know, that's their opinion, and that may be their opinion, but and the sheriff at that point said, that's when he started the conversation, I know where you stand, you know, where you guys are at, that, and so I told him specifically, if you do not stand with the Hammonds, we will not support you. You have placed yourself with the other side, in saying I'm going to allow them to be arrested, and at that point, there we will not support you, and we will be ensuring that the Hammonds do not get arrested.
So it's clear that Oathkeepers is going to take the law in position in any circumstance.
Yes, they are. And they had Brandon Curtis is a former law enforcement, and he made that point very well known, that his specific purpose in that organization is to talk with the law enforcement entities where they go into and try to work with them as much as possible.
So we can expect to be on the opposite side from Oathkeeper somewhere along the line. Does Ammon understand that at this point?
That was the discussion that I had with Ammon afterwards. I said, you know, Ammon, I'm going to keep up this whole unity thing that you want to see, but you have to understand that their camp is not going to work with us, and therefore that unity is going to fail at that point, that that becomes obvious, that they're not going to work with us. And the other point is going to be that, and Ammon is already feeling it, he said that he's already feeling it, that they are not going to toe the hard line of defending the Hammonds if the Hammonds are not going to stand up, and quite possibly if the sheriff is not going to stand up.
Okay, so the two problems we've got now are, one, Stephen's decision. You know, if he convinces his parents, when do we expect an answer on that?
There's no telling. We may never hear.
Okay, and the other one is, right now I see the Oathkeepers as the enemy. That antagonism makes it untenable. If the Hammonds did want us to come in and they wanted Oathkeepers to come in as well, unless they agreed that all communication between all units come through the militia liaison, I think we'd have to back away. Because I'd hate to rest the reputation of OMD on Oathkeepers taking the camp by force, so to speak.
Yeah, I had that conversation with Ammon, and Ammon has taken essentially the position of the militia liaison at this point, and I kind of told him about that. That at this point, you know, with the fact that you're the one who's bringing all of the entities into unity on this, you're going to have to make sure that this authoritarian rule that they want to impose is not allowed to happen. So he has definitely said that if any entity tries to exert total control, that he will not be allowing that. And he will also advise the Hammonds totally against it as well. I agree that, you know, the difficulty in working with them is that I don't know if they're not allowed to have their authoritarian control, that they're even going to participate, which is good. But if they do decide they're still going to participate, then that creates issues because I just don't know that they're gonna work with us.
Well, I don't think they will. I mean, we've got too much experience behind it. I'm wondering if they're not becoming Obama's secret police force.
That's exactly what I think. Everything that I saw leads me to believe that. And I think a lot of them don't know that they're doing it. I think a lot of them are just bodies, and they've been convinced of a certain manner to approach things. So I think that the control comes from up top. But I definitely have the feeling that they're being inserted especially for that purpose, to control the situation.
And Emin invited them in, right?
Yes.
And he realizes the hoopla he made with that.
Yes, he is definitely coming around to understanding that.
So basically there's, what, 5, maybe 6 weeks left before D-Day?
So actually,
yep.
If the Hammonds decide on a course of action and agree to work with us or allow us to trespass on their property, the sheriff 6 weeks from now is inconsequential, right?
Right.
So we'd have to have their permission to be on their land. They would have to give that, and that would be acquiescence. And if we had something in writing from them that we had permission to camp on their land or something like that, then we would, at that point, we would know and could begin planning. Otherwise, if they're not willing to give us permission, I don't know how we could stop the arrest.
Well, I'm not exactly sure how that looks either, but that's what has to be discussed.
I mean, they're surrounded, nearly surrounded. When looking at the map, they're nearly surrounded. I don't know if there's any other outparcels that aren't federal, but that's all federal lands. We could encircle the ranch, but that's a large ranch. It's, what, 1,000 acres or something?
Well, it's not a I think we need to look at other things, other avenues. If they're not going to request the assistance, not only that, but Steve and his wife live out at the ranch, and Dwight and Susie live in town, right? Probably 3 blocks over from the sheriff's department. They're around the middle of town, so you have that issue. I don't know if they're not going to request assistance, and then we have to look at another avenue of keeping them out of jail. Then I think a separate avenue, it has to be, first off, it has to be a covert protection, probably, and it has to be based on quick reaction teams, as far as I can see.
So
that
either be the stop the marshals from, well, if they decide to go turn themselves in, we'd have to kidnap them to stop it.
The other, that's the other key is, you have two different things. If they do, and now we're basing it on two different courses of actions. If they still decide they're going to turn themselves in, somehow the situation has to be created that they can't, not because of their side, but because of the other side. The situation has to be created where the federal, they're not going to be accepted when they turn themselves in, if that makes sense.
Well, if they were supposed to turn themselves into the prison, for example, the prison's armed, it's got the towers around it, they've got automatic weapons. If they got to the prison gates, it would be almost impossible for us to discourage the prison from taking them. Would be almost impossible.
No, I think that a situation would beforehand. To where?
Well, my thing is, if they accept, then you take the two that are living in town and putting them on the ranch, so that way you can provide all the family and a perimeter security around and eliminate the two different.
I think that if they decide, you know, that they're not going to be arrested, I think that's the situation that'll probably happen.
But
or
if,
in
but
what
not
I mean,
arrested, it's almost impossible. They'd be, you know, Stephen's wife will drive him, and Susie will drive Dwight in, and so there's two separate vehicles. Well, I think it's time for, you know, I've got some maps, and I can get some Google of the property, which would give the give you Google Earth coordinates on it. But
yeah,
I think it's time for the planning people to start looking at the variables and see what they can come up with.
The other issue I'm talking about, and on that notion of defense, we're still talking about if they decide they're not going to turn themselves in, whether they want protection or not, that you're looking at courses of action based on that. The other consideration is
turn themselves in, and even if we can't go on their property, I think it's viable. It depends on how large their ranch is if they don't give us permission to be on the ranch.
But if they decide that they're going to turn themselves in, I believe we still have a duty. We still have a responsibility to ensure that they're not, that they can't. Not necessarily by impeding them from doing it, but by impeding the other side from taking them.
Well, I need to have some idea. I can't conceive of how that can be done.
Well, we've already talked through one course of action, which is obviously very aggressive, but I think that those are the types of things that are going to have to be considered if we're actually going to take that stance that the Hammonds are not going to serve another day in prison.
Well, that's where planning needs to, you know, come up. Various scenarios based on this, I think.
Yeah, and we need to start drawing something up. Like yesterday, since there's only maybe 6 weeks left.
Right. Yeah, because anything that's going to happen, we're going to have to drum up, not only come up with an approved course of action, but then disseminate that course of action and get the support for it.
Yeah.
And then allow tough movement. People are going to have to haul ass.
Well, I'd like grid coordinates for the ranch.
I'll get them out on the mail list, and we'll get the maps that I've got out.
All right.
Okay, Brian?
Yes.
I think we're starting with an assumption here, and I just want to make sure that we're all understanding that assumption. From what I've... There's going to be an OMD mission, regardless of the Hammond's decision or the sheriff's decision. It's just going to be a different COA. Is that what I'm hearing?
If the sheriff makes the correct decision, then it would be whether or not he felt that he needed the resources to affect that decision.
But you would want
to quite honestly,
him. Is that the point?
Say that again?
You would want to have them standing by to support him.
Yeah, go camping
right
in the area and be available, yeah.
So that's why I'm saying, if the assumption we're making is it really doesn't matter what the Hammonds decide or what the sheriff decides, we are going to do something, that is a place to start from for our planning.
Well,
if indeed it
goes
up to the points, then of us not doing anything, that's kind of a different set of assumptions, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, the unknown right now as far as the Hammonds is whether Stephen would object to our intervention.
But the discussions I've heard from Ryan are, it doesn't matter whether the Hammonds agree or disagree, it just changes the course of action. There's still an OMD mission.
I thought we decided if they would say that they didn't want us there, that we would, we were, I think, 3-2 the other day. And I would still continue to vote the same way. If he's going to turn on us and say, no, I didn't want them here, then, you know, I still think that closes the door. I think participation on the Hammond side with Oath Keepers is out of the question unless they're willing to agree to that we can't share with them.
That's why I asked the Hammonds directly what their position was as far as, you know, the feeling that it doesn't really matter what their decision is, that it's going to be ensured that they are not don't spend another day in prison. And they said that surely they would not come out against it and that most likely they would be in support of it.
That's Susan and Dwight. What about Stephen? He's the one that possesses the ranch. He's the heir. And, you know, if he comes out against us being there and says, well, I don't want these people there like, Kim Davis did, that's the door three scenario. It doesn't matter who says it, but if anybody of interest, now, Stephen's on the ranch, they're off. So they're the holders of the ranch, whether it's been conveyed to them or not. It's probably still in Dwight's name and in the will, but, you know, Stephen's voice would be louder than Dwight's under the circumstances. And that would be the obvious location of a defensive resistance to arrest.
Yeah, if they make the decision that they're not going to be arrested, then obviously whether they want a protection or not, if they're not going to request it, then if they're not going to request a defense, but they do say they're not going to turn themselves in, then it just means that the defensive barrier needs to be outside of their control. But now, if they say they're not going to turn themselves in, or rather, let's say Dwight says that he's not going to turn himself in, but Steve does.
Then we go to Burns and protect Dwight.
I still find the notion that we're going to allow them to spend a day in prison contrary to why we exist.
But it's free will. Wouldn't we become
We are denying their right of choice. Freedom is a right of choice. Liberty is, you know, your fist stops at my nose.
They're not making the free choice. They're not making the free choice to go into prison. They believe that they're being forced into prison.
No, they believe they're being forced to, but if they decide that they want to acquiesce to the law as it's applied, that's their choice too. I mean, you know.
Yes, and it is our duty then to step in and say the law is being misapplied and you're oppressing these people and we're not going to allow you to do it.
I can't go there. We cannot make something somebody do something they don't want to do, because one of the consequences, quite simply, is the government could bring additional charges, or the judge could order because of their defiance, whether they defied it or not, and add to their sentence. We don't know what the consequences could be, and if they want.
And that is why it needs to be some type of something needs to be pursued to where the other side won't even accept them if they tried to turn themselves in.
I can't.
Well, if they won't.
I can't buy
it. Here's the scenario. Say they don't want to turn themselves in, but they don't want us on their property. So you put a perimeter somewhere outside of their property to stop vehicular law enforcement from coming in, but who's to say that they'll just float in with the helicopter and snatch them up and then fly away, and you're sitting there going, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, apparently there's a number of roads in, too, because they go out into the BLM land for the allotments, and if they were 640 acres, that's a four-mile perimeter. 1,000 acres is probably about a nine-mile perimeter.
Well, you don't need a perimeter. All you need, the notion of a perimeter it doesn't need to exist. All you need is LPOPs and then the ability to respond quickly. So
the helicopter lands on their land and we don't have permission to go on their land, as Tim just said, what do we do at that point? Pack up and go home?
Yep. I understand your passion, Ryan, and I'm behind it 100%, but Damon's behind it 100%. because, you know, I mean, if they just, my thought is, you know, they just like me, and the feds raided my house, and I decide I'm going to jail. And that's my choice. But if I'm going to jail, I need somebody to stand here and take. But they have to.
I can't hear anything. I think you're breaking up pretty bad, Tim.
I said, my feeling is they need to be behind it 100%, which means allowing us on their property means saying, no, we're not going, because we're not there to, yeah, it is tyranny and all, but it is their right to say, screw it, I'm done, I'm going to jail, I don't care.
Well, then I guess the way that I feel is that we don't have the same goal. My goal is to stop tyranny. I quite honestly don't care if the people want to are going to submit themselves to the tyranny or not. My goal is to stop tyranny.
Your goal is to take somebody's right of choice away.
No, my goal is to stop tyranny.
By taking somebody's rights away. You're forgetting the
wrong
subject here.
Wrong.
The Hammonds don't have a right to make a choice because Ryan decided so? Is that what you're saying?
They have the right to go stand in front of that government and say, you're not going to accept these people.
Well, I think at this point, Dennis, you got all the scenarios. Can you work up a sketch? I'll get you the maps and information, see if you can work up a sketch, but I don't see...
Actually, that's John's job, remember?
Oh, that's right. He's not here.
I'd still like to see the grid coordinates.
Yeah, please send out the stuff you've got for the background.
I'll get the information out.
Alright.
Okay, I think we're about where we need to be for tonight, particularly since John's not here.
Right, so...
that's about all I have on to pass on.
A lot of the things that the Oath Keepers said, that Ryan conveyed to us, I think they're all... most of them are bullshit. They may have resources like NCIC, the sheriff has that. I don't think they're going to go beyond that in any level of access on government computers, because you have to log in to do it, and it's very restrictive when you get to higher levels. As far as their public relations, they sure did a shitty job at the Bundy Ranch, and I would say, judging by the Patriot community, they did a shitty job at Pine Springs and Big Sky and Kim Davis, all of them. They're a very poor job with publicity. I think this Brooke, I think I've run across her before, Brooke Extra or something like that, is just a mouth.
Don't forget Ferguson.
Oh, Ferguson,
yeah. Yeah, she's very much a mouth. There was a lot of finger pointing and a whole lot of, I have this, I have that, I know this, and I can do this and that. And there's 700 people that answered directly to me, was one of her particular statements. So, yeah, they're very, very mouthy.
That's the Patriot community. It's all based upon ego.
Yeah,
right.
Well, she reminds me of Barbie Rogers.
So,
okay. I am for you, my man.
Somebody says Barbie Rogers is a beach whale, but we'll leave that out of the discussion.
Send me out those grid coordinates so I can look at those.
I will, but just...
Dennis, were you... Hold on, Gary, hold on. Dennis, were you trying to talk?
Yeah, I was going to ask you a question. How do we anticipate getting additional information? Is Hammond staying there? Are you staying there? Are you going to stay in contact by phone?
what's the, I guess, the plan for the next steps as far as information?
Yeah, at this point, it's going to be phone. The sheriff has, he's agreed to keep open line of communication with me, as have the Hammonds, and then also Ammon is in, has direct communication with both of them as well. So we do have a means from what's going on.
Okay, so it's Thursday. You're probably going to update us on Sunday then, or do you think before that?
Update you as far as
what's happening,
anything.
Anyone's made a decision, or if Steve has chat, weighed in, or anything else going on.
Yeah, if anything that I know that I find out, I'll put out to the advisory board email, and then if anybody feels like they need additional information, then feel free to call me on that. But I'll put out anything over that email so that everybody's aware of it.
And tell the sheriff. Tell the sheriff December 1st deadline. That only gives us 4 weeks after that.
Yep.
And I would prefer if people have questions, maybe they ask them in that email thread type thing, because that way the rest of us can do it and we just don't waste your time maybe asking the same question.
Sure, that'd be great.
Because I imagine you're going to be busy, so, you don't have to answer, four different people calling you if we can just do it one way and kind of get it all collected up.
Yeah, exactly. I'm probably going to be out of service Saturday and probably Sunday, so I don't even think I'm going to be anywhere where there's service within literally. I would have to drive hours in order to get service, so I'm probably not going to be able to participate on Sunday.
And I'm going to be in the mountains on Sunday, so do we want to set it off?
Well, it sounds like we need to push it off then. What do you think? Monday is people going to be available?
No, I'm not going to be back out until Thanksgiving.
Okay. How about you, Ryan? When do you think you'll be available?
I'll certainly be back available by Tuesday.
Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we just stay in touch via email and we'll set a date when people are more available. What does that send to everybody?
So I guess we say we can put off Sunday's meeting pending notification and agreement via email.
Yeah, and if you come up with something important, put it out and maybe Gary can then schedule and those that can make it, make it. If you can't make it, you can't make it, but at least we can stay up with some of it.
Right.
Does that make sense to everybody?
Makes sense to me.
Gary, you still there, man?
Yeah, I said that. Yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
And
I guess I'm good on my points. Anybody else have anything else?
No, sir.
Nope, I think we're good, and I think this also is a good reason why we take and do the recording, because then John can pull it whenever he gets time and at least hear all this and see what's going on.
Yep.
Okay, well, everybody stay safe then, I guess, and talk to you when we talk to you.
All right,
Roger that. Have a good night, everyone.
Yep, good night.